Well, good morning, everybody. And we say it all the time, every time we come here, but I really mean it. It's just a joy to be here. And we really, really appreciate all the time, the fellowship, and everything that happens when we come down here. It's always so fulfilling, and it's blissful for us. And two, what a joy it is to be in God's house today and learn and study and grow in His Word. If you have your Bibles with you, my opening reading is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. And the title of the message I want to share with you today is, I guess, in the form of a question. How many gods are there? Because there's a church on every corner. There's thousands of denominations. There's thousands of religions throughout the world. There's thousands of so-called paths to God. And everyone has their own path in their own way, which is extremely self-centered if you really, really think about it. There's no humility in that. So what I want to look at today is, biblically speaking, how many gods are there? Because there are other gods. Because God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, I've had people try to tell me that, well, you can make a god of your house, your car, your possessions, your money, your bank account, all that. No, it's a deity. It means if you look up and research it, it's talking about a certain type of deity. Yeah, we're not to covet thy neighbor's house and all those things. But as far as thou shalt have no other gods, the implication is that there are other gods. And for better or worse, you get to choose who you serve. Choose this day who you shall serve. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, I just want to read verse 9. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." What a statement. I am that I am. Moses at the burning bush, they're going to tell me who, when they ask me who I talk to, what should I say? He said, "I am that I am, the great I am. I am God. There's nobody like me. There's nobody that can defeat me. There's nobody more powerful than me. There's none like me. I am the ultimate all-time king, champion, leader of my people." He's undefeated. He's never lost, and he never will. We, however, can be defeated if we serve other gods that he warned us about. To show that, well, that's the Old Testament, Brian. Okay, well, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And I want to read verse 4 through 6. Verse 4. "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." One. There's just one. If there's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism, why are there so many different kinds of churches? And does it matter? Does it matter which one you choose, where you go? Well, I want to look at some things today and hopefully find out who he is, who he says he is, who we are, and who are not of him. If you will, very familiar, turn to the book of Amos, chapter 3. He makes a statement, beginning in verse 1. "Hear the word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I have brought up from the land of Egypt, saying," he's going to make a statement, "you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for your iniquities," or visit upon you the iniquity of your decisions. So when God says, I've known, of all the family, I've only known one, I would relate it to, of all the women on this planet, I've only known one. I've only married one. God only married one. His bride. His chosen covenant people. You see it thousands of times through Scripture. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I am your God, you are my people. How many more times does he have to say it? How simplistic is that answer? But he allows us to choose. And he even says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Please choose. But Joshua, choose this day whom you shall serve. So God allows us to choose. If you to show that, turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 33. This is how powerful our God is. Numbers chapter 33, I'm going to start in verse 50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, he's talking to Moses. He said, speak to the children of Israel, not the world, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan in the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall possess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess. You didn't have to buy it. He gave it to us. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, not the world, among your families, and to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Here it comes. Moreover, I shall do to it, moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do to you as I thought to do to them. Now, I'm confused. I got a question. These people that he's talking about, why can't their God overpower our God? He said, I want you to go in this land. I'm giving it. You drive them out and get rid of them. Get them out of your sight. Tear down everything that does not honor me. Why? Because they have other gods that they serve. And if you don't do it, I'm going to do to you what I was going to do to them. This is what parents do with their children. If I say, David, don't play in the street, and David lets his friends talk him into playing in the street to disobey me, he'll only do it once, hopefully. And then I got to correct him and bring him back. Why did you disobey me? What did I tell you? Why did you listen to someone else and not listen to me? Now you're going to be punished because you listened to them and not me. That's exactly how our God is towards us. You're mine. I am yours. You are mine. Because we know what happens in a short time. We know Deuteronomy 7. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. And these seven nations that became greater than them, why? Because you didn't drive them out like I told you. And we know Deuteronomy. We don't even have to read it. We all know it verbatim. And if you're listening to this, take time and read the first 20 verses of Deuteronomy 7. What happened? They disobeyed. And they got overthrown. And what did he say? Don't marry them. Kill them. Show them no mercy. Okay, why didn't their God save them from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Whose team do you want to be on? He's undefeated. He will never, I am who I am. To show that, go to the book of Nehemiah chapter 13. He has to repeat himself. Nehemiah chapter 13, begin in verse 1. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people that therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite shall not come into the congregation of the Lord. Diversity include equity include. There's no DEI back then. Why in the hell do we have it now? In our churches. Because what are they supposed to do? Verse 2, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water and hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. How many times have they had to recycle this message? Don't intermarry. Don't serve their gods. Get out of. Don't be like them. Don't do what they do. Don't use their customs to serve me, thinking you're doing a good thing, because I hate it. I am God. There's nobody like me. Why won't you listen? Why won't you listen? To show that even stronger, turn to the book of Ezra. Chapter 4. We'll back up a little bit. Now, this is a story, and I want you to really grasp this. This really happened. Now, verse 4, chapter 1. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Who are the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin? They're not our friends. They're not our family. They came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. Why don't they say, for we seek our God? They said, we seek your God. We heard about him. We heard the stories. We heard what happened at the Red Sea. We heard what happened at Mount Sinai. We heard what happened when the Canaanites and people stole the Ark of the Covenant and what happened to them when they tried to be like you. And God knocked down their idols and they said, get this thing out of here. And it went to seven different, and everywhere the Ark of the Covenant went because the Israel disobeyed, there was destruction. And they said, get this thing out of here. Because, if we got the Ark of the Covenant, we got their God's power. No. For we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyr, which brought us up hither. So they're asking, we want to help you build your church, and we want to serve your God. Let's see the answer. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus and the kings of Persia have commanded us. They said, no, you're not welcome. You're not building our church, and we're not going to let you serve our God. Now, what if that happened today? How many churches have a sign, not all are welcome? Only the covenant people of God are welcome to come through that door and come in here and worship and serve. They said, no, we want to come to church. No, we want to help you build your church. No, we want to give you our tithes and offering. No, we want to sing praises with you. No, 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 no. Because I know who our God is. I know who you are. And I know who I am. And they said no. Now, if you finish reading the story, it would be, I would say, if Pastor Don came into $100 million and he wanted to build a brand new church And when they find out what kind of church you have, well, this permit don't go through, this building won't go, oh, the concrete was on the way, but something. I mean, they were a thorn in their flesh, and they did everything they could to stop them from building because they were mad. Because we want, if you read the story, that's what happened. It would be like today. Try building a church and not putting up a sign, all are welcome, and see what happens. See what happens to the churches who hang a pride flag in June. Okay? Now, if I borrow something from you and give it back, I'm not a thief, am I? I want to borrow something that I heard here 2 weeks. Please turn to Psalm 97. I want to borrow a verse that we read that day, if you don't mind. Psalm 97, and I want to read verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Okay, here's the problem. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. If your God is different from my God, your evil is different from my evil. If your God loves same-sex marriage, my God says that's evil. We have a different God. We have different evils. If you believe in interracial marriage, your evil, that evil to us is your good, because your God is not my God. If your Lord is different, your evil's different. Your good is different. Everything is different. If you believe that God died for all people of all races and you have a multiracial, mongrelized congregation, that is evil to the God that we serve. That is evil in His eyes. But since you have a different God, you think that that evil is good. So the God you serve and choose to obey dictates the evil that you hate. And what did they tell us at the end times? Good will be bad. Bad will be good. It's getting worse. It's only 2025. What's it going to be in 35 if we're still here? Do you understand? You have to know what evil is to serve our God. It was evil when they said, you can't come to our church. You can't help us build. Now the world says, well, that's evil. No, that's good to us. So your God dictates what you consider evil. And if there's multiple gods, there's multiple evils. And if you think evil is good and good is evil, that will tell me which God you serve. To show that, in the New Testament, turn to the book of John, chapter 5. Jesus, I think, makes a very good statement here. John chapter 5, Jesus is speaking. I want to read verse 39 and 40. Okay, here's our Savior. He's going to make, remember, I am God and there's none like me. Okay, His Son's got is the same attitude. He's the same way. Verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. These are the Scriptures. This is the Bible. And Jesus said in verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Every church knows the Bible. Every church preaches that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. Every church teaches that He was raised. Every church teaches that He died on a cross at Calvary. Every church teaches that He rose from the dead. Every church teaches that He ascended into heaven. And every church teaches that Jesus is coming back. That's what He says. Search the Scripture, for in them you think, and they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me. Look, you know my name. You know my story, but you don't know me. What do we read in Matthew 7 and Luke 13? Many will come to me in that day and call me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not heal in your name? Did we not take communion in it? Did we not preach in your name? And He said, depart from me, I never knew you. What's wrong with these people? They go to church. They take communion. I've never healed a sick that I know of. But they claim they did. Okay? Why does he say that? Why does he say, but you will not come to me that you might have life? Because Jesus said, if they hated me, this is discipleship. He's teaching them, guys, they're going to hate you. He asked him one time, what is it that you accuse me of? My work? No, we don't accuse. We can't deny your work. You claim you're the Son of God. And they picked up stones to kill him. He identified himself. Me and my Father are one. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I did not die for everybody. I did not die for the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Girgashites, the other. I didn't come to die for them. They're not mine. I know who mine are, and I came for my children. Our Father who art in heaven. He's our Father, and He loves us so much that He sent His Son to pay all the debt that we owe. And what do? We take that blood and we pass it around the world and we contaminate it and give it to people it's not supposed to go to. That's blasphemy. You take the holy blood and you make it unholy when you pass it around to people and you give communion to people and you give His representation of body and blood to mongrels, non-covenant people, and they think they're serving our God. And you hug and hold and kiss them and bring them and let them into your church pews. And I think our God hates it, because Jesus said, you will not come to me. Because once you find out who He really is, that's when all hell will break loose in your life. Because He is not popular. I told Laura and David growing up, if you decide to walk in what we are teaching you, the world will hate you and the church-going people will hate you the most. They will call you names. You will break. You'll lose company with them. You will lose fellowship with them. They will be as mad as they've ever been. Why? Turn to the book of John chapter 3. Or go back and go to John chapter 3. In verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Why? They have a different God. They don't know what's evil because they have the wrong God. If you love God, you hate evil. They don't even know what evil is. Where deeds were evil. For everyone that doth hate evil hateth, or everyone that doeth evil hate the light. What did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. Neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's what happens when you find out who Jesus really is, when you find out that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob truly is. The God I served when I was brought up in the Lutheran church, I don't serve him anymore. The God that my wife served in the Baptist church, we don't serve him anymore. Why? Because we came into the light. And it shined. My wife sang in the choir for years. And I will never forget the day we sat together. We were in the pew singing a hymn. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. And we froze. Now I know what, ye chosen seed of Israel's race. Even our quote when we used to do Christmas, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Now I know what that means. Back then I thought it was the Jewish people. See, there's another one. If you think the Jewish people are God's chosen people and you don't know how evil they are, it's because you're serving the wrong God. You are serving the wrong God. Well, we got to send billions of dollars to this little teeny weeny country, probably more money than we give all the other ones, And we think we're being blessed and we're being cursed. Why do people love darkness? It's popular. It's soothing. It's comfortable. The world loves darkness. The world loves warmth. God says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. I hate lukewarm. And I've said it before, I say it again. You're sitting on the fence. You got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. I got bad news for you. The fence belongs to Satan. That's his fence. He loves warmth. Why? Because warmth is, you take a bath. If it's too cold, it's not good. If it's too hot, it's not good. We want warm water because it's soothing. God hates that. I'd rather you be, look, in or out. You're either for me or against me. None of this lukewarm stuff. If you will now turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now that you've come into the light, there's something you have to be aware of. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt a little bit, and it's hurt everybody in here, and if it hasn't, it will. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to begin in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, what's a yoke? You know, oxen. They put a yoke on them to plow a field. Okay? And you want the oxen to plow a straight line. But if you have two oxen that are try to go different ways, it won't work. If you have one that's really tall, it won't work. You have to have oxen. The only way that yoke works is if they're going in the same path, the same direction to plow a straight field. Be ye not yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. He hasn't changed. Everybody knows Malachi, the tithing verse. You go one verse up. I am God, therefore I change not. 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall dwell, you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Why do we do this? Why are we not supposed to? It's very important who you hang out with. As parents, with children, it's our biggest fear. Who are your friends? Why? Because bad people can ruin good character. Unbelievers will affect believers. It's a struggle. It's a spiritual struggle. You're either going to convert them or they're going to convert you to their ways. They're partying. Drinking, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Let's go party. It's what every parent fears. And I've known good parents who were good people with good kids. And how many of them went to their freshman year in college back in August? And they're coming home for Thanksgiving and they don't even recognize them anymore. It's like everything they taught them for 18 years, they flushed it. Why? Because they were unequally yoked with unbelievers, righteousness and unrighteousness. And if you do that, God says, you can't be with me. Because it's important who you hang out with. It's important who your friends are. Now, witness to them? Yes. Try to show them the gospel? Yes. But if they love darkness more than the light of truth, wash your hands, and you may have to end some friendships because it won't work. And we're outnumbered tremendously. It's what every parent's. Why? Because God's our father. He's our dad. He's our parent. What did he tell them? We've read it. Don't hang out with these people. Don't let them in my church. A bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Don't let them in my house. I had a friend of mine. They were covenant believers for many years. And now they go to a church that's multiracial, mongrelized, and they put a Christmas tree up. And they love it. And I asked them, do you put a tree up? And, well, no, we're not uncomfortable. All right, and I, remember? God, evil. And I said to them, so you're telling me that your God, you can put a tree up and God, your God says you can put a tree up in my house, but don't put one up in your house. If you don't have a Christmas tree in your house and you go to the house of the Lord and it's a tree in it, that's the God you serve. I'm not as dumb as I look. I couldn't be. You put a tree in God's house and you tell me, well, we're not doing it in our house. Nonsense. Don't bring it in his house and don't bring it in your house. That's crazy in my opinion. And I told him that. So yes, it's important who your friends are. To show you that, Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 9. Here's a warning. This is what has to happen. Yes, Luke chapter 9, I just want to read verse 62. And Jesus said, now it says here that Jesus is teaching discipleship to his disciples and to people who choose to follow him. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Don't go back. You got your hand on the plow. You're plowing forward. But if your heart is back where you came from, and you can't plow straight. Because if you're plowing and you're looking back, crooked line, you're going to have a crooked life. You will have a crooked, you have to look, when you put your hand to the plow, you have to look forward. Also, don't let people bring up your past. I was this, Jesus, as such were some of you, but you were washed, you were cleansed, your righteousness. When you confess our sins, God says, I will forget them and I will remember them no more. Boy, I wish we could do that with each other. Don't let somebody in the past bring up your past when you got that hand on the plow and you're looking forward and you're, that's darkness. Okay? The light is forward. What you were, you're not that no more. I was an adulterer. I did drugs. I don't do it no more. Okay? It's forgotten. Why? Because you're going forward to the light and don't look back. Don't go back. Oh, come on, let's go party. I don't do that anymore. Oh, and they call you names. Let them. They did it to our Savior. Look at what he went through for us. The greatest preacher, teacher, God in the flesh, and the church people hated him. Not for what he did, but what he taught, and they picked up stones to kill him. You ever feel that way? Okay. I've never been hit with a stone. I've had words thrown at me. I've been called the same name that all of you have been called. I haven't been tried to be stoned yet. And to show another, okay, let's stay in the book of Luke. Let's go back to chapter 6. This is what Jesus said before he got to that. Luke chapter 6. I want to start in verse 46. This is a simple request. Jesus is speaking. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Search the scripture and you will not come to me. Okay, you call me that. Why won't you do what I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Who's the rock? Peter, Petra. And upon this rock I will build my church. Solid foundation, strong doctrine, strong beliefs. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house that and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. That's your life. What's the foundation of your life? Who's your rock? Which God are you going to choose to build your house on? Because this house, our body, is the temple of God. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that lay without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. It's talking about your spirit. It's talking about your house, your home, your home life, your body, your friends, your work, your co-workers, your habits, everything you do. You're building on something. Which God are you going to choose? The rock, Peter, Petra, or the denominational church world? Because when the storms come, what's the only one that will not fall? It depends. He said, why do you call? Don't tell me how much you like me, but you won't do what I ask you to do. Why won't you believe me? Why won't you follow me? Why do you fight me all the time? To go back for a history, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And then we're going to come, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I want to begin in verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make ye a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt begot children and children's children, and ye have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourself. Remember what he told him. And make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. You cannot be jealous of someone you don't love because you don't care. That's why jealousy can be between a husband, wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend. What is it? Because you're giving the affection. Now, we're told to love. I love all the ladies here, but I love Susan the most. I have an affection for her that I don't have with other people. But if she sees that, if she sees the affection that I give that's only hers alone and I give it to another woman, she gets angry, sad, and jealous, just like our God does. Why are you serving other gods? Remember the covenant I gave to you. We're married. You're mine. I'm yours. How many kids are going to give their heart to Santa Claus after Thanksgiving? That love and affection is God's, not Satan Claus. Well, Brian, it's fun for the kids. No. No, it's not fun. What did it say? Your children's children. He wasn't born December 25th. That's the truth. Well, I like darkness. It's not true. I lived in darkness. What's not to like about it? It ain't true. It's dark, and he doesn't like it. If you will, to show up one more, just go to the book of Judges, chapter 10, history lesson. Judges chapter, I just want to read verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Siron, the gods of the Zidonians, the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not. How many gods are there? Well, right here, there's the god of Siron, that's one, Zidon, two, Moab, three, Ammon, four, Philistine, five. And then there's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Has anything changed? Has anything changed? Are there other gods, other churches? Bible tells us, for there are lords many and gods many. Go to any church you want. Serve anyone you want. We got this one. We got all the other ones over here. And what did they do? They did evil. Why? because they didn't know what evil was because they didn't have the right God. And the evil that they did, they didn't know it. They thought it was good, just like some of us used to. One last reading. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Here's the end game. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to give you a little history lesson and then the end game. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, undefeated. Neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Who's the old serpent? Called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into where? The earth. Where was he? In the heavens. Where was the war? In heavens. Who won? Who lost? And his angels were cast out with him. Fallen angels. They're here. Now, go to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why is it only, if he's going to war with a woman doesn't have seed in her until it's planted. And he was wroth with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments. Why is he only going to war with a tiny little remnant? Because why go to war with someone you've already conquered through false teaching and deception and lies? Satan loves the Catholic Church. Satan loves mongrel churches. Satan loves same-sex churches. Satan loves churches who tell lies. He's already got them. Who's he after? This little remnant that keep of this woman. That keep what? The commandments of God and the testimony and the covenant. That's who we're fighting against. He's already got them. I don't have to fight them anymore. I've already conquered them. Why? Because they're in darkness. I don't want them to see that light. I don't want them to know what's good and evil. I want them to love the evil that they do. I have had literally people tell me, yeah, but Brian, if you do the wrong thing the right way, it's okay. God knows my heart. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So let's keep that battle. That war is still going on because we are the remnant, that small little remnant. We know who we are. We know who our God is. Thank you so much for having me. May the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you.